Forta makes all-natural sexual enhancers called Forta for men and for women that help with impotence and premature ejaculation, vaginal dryness, low libido, and they even intensify orgasms. So if you need a little boost in the bedroom or are just curious about sexual enhancement, you literally can't go wrong with Forta. Their supplements not only increase desire and blood flow, but can help your spleen, kidneys, and lungs. And seriously, what's sexier than a big, healthy spleen? So if you want to keep our show free and have some hot sex in the process, check out Forta Online. That's F-O-R-T-A. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I promise your sex life will improve. Hi, you're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information about Sex with Emily, go to sexwithemily.com. You can listen to all of our podcasts, sign up for our mailing list, check out the blog, and you can also download my iPhone app, 101 Sex Tips from Sex with Emily. And you can check out my favorite toys from my toy store on my website. It's from mypleasure.com. And you can find me on Twitter and Facebook and see a bunch of stuff going on with me. And I can see stuff going on with you if you email me and with your questions at feedback@sexwithemily.com. Hi, Menace.
Hi,
my producer,
how you doing?
Lovely man.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of information. I just wanted to get it out, you know?
Yeah, people need to get hold of you.
People need to get hold of me. Yeah, my Facebook is Emily Morse, and it's Twitter, it's Emily Morse, and Menace is White Menace.
.com, yes.
.com. I've got so many sex tips today that I just needed another moment to gather my thoughts before you came in, because we're going to go through lots of sex tips, because I have a lot of sex in my mind, like I always do. So I'm doing the intro to my book. You know, I've been working on my book.
Mm-hmm.
And so my task this weekend is to write the intro to the book. Like, what is sex? What does sex mean to me? And it's so hard to think about, because it's really setting the tone for the book. And like, why it got me thinking about, like, why I started doing the show. And I bet a lot of people kind of feel the same way that I do. But sex is, it's huge. I mean, sex is everything. Sex is a really big deal. If you're not having it, you're not doing it, you're not talking about it, you know, it sucks. Like, you're in a miserable place. And that's why I think a lot of people listen to the show, and why I started doing it is because we all want to get better at it. And there's no magic bullet. Like, I'm never here saying, like, here's the one thing you need to do. But the first thing that's most important about sex, which is what I'm going to tell, I'm like practicing my writing right now, what I'm going to write, though, I was thinking, is that the first thing is that you have to, bottom line is you have to know what makes yourself feel good. Like a woman or a man, you have to know what makes yourself feel good, what positions you need to get there. And the second thing you have to do is you have to share that with your partner.
And
it's not by pushing her head down, like we talked about, which we're going to get into because we got a lot of response to that.
Good.
And don't be afraid to share it through demonstrating or talking about it or sharing your fantasies, showing each other where the buttons are. And I was thinking about this story that I met this couples therapist, and she was a couples therapist for 25 years. She had seen 1,000 couples. And she said to me, Emily, not one couple, there isn't one exception to this rule, that did not have an issue with their sex life. She said either they had too much, too little, they had no attraction or no arousal or too much arousal. And so she said that it's always an issue. And you find the couples who just kind of say, well, my wife doesn't want it, or I don't want it. It's okay. And we're going to be okay because we get along really well. And he takes the garbage out and she's great with the kids or whatever. That it's really, when you're not connecting sexually, you're going to have other problems in the relationship. So to think that sex isn't important and disregard it is something that is a serious problem and will be a problem in your relationship. So that's why you're listening to the show, I hope.
Even more than money.
Even more, the sex and money are the two biggest factors in a relationship that bring you down, that can really hurt you. But when couples aren't having good sex and connecting, it does not bode well. And there's a lot of couples who kind of disregard it. And I think a lot of people, like I said, are listening to get tips and to get help. And I answer your letters and all that stuff. So speaking of that, though, sex, I'm not having any.
All right.
No, I'm not. I'm still in my manatorium, which is a moratorium. You know, you put a hold on things. Manatorium, no man. Still not doing that. And I've been very productive. I can't, Menace, you know me with my ADD.
Done?
I'm getting so much done. We shot last week for my YouTube channel. We're shooting all these videos, which I want you to come be in some of them.
All right. I need to get a tan.
I know.
And hit the gym.
Oh, honey,
and
you look
get a
great.
Haircut.
Okay.
I did a TV interview yesterday, and I was so embarrassed.
Because
they had so many lights on me. I'm like, I'm so pasty because I don't get outside the office. You could probably see right through me.
Don't they put makeup on you or powder? No, I'm a woman. No. They do that for me.
No, they don't do that for me.
I think you look adorable, Menace.
Thank you. I try.
You really, really, really do. So yeah, I'm not doing the men thing, and it's interesting, and I am productive, and I'm working, and it's interesting to notice, like, I have these, you know, inclinations of texting someone or getting in touch with a guy that I know that I could date or be interested in, and I'm just not doing it. And I'm
getting stuff done.
I feel like a Zen master.
Nice.
I do. I feel like there's just so much stuff. So last week, also, we talked about this. We talked about a huge pet peeve that I just kind of dropped because it happened to a friend of mine. And we're going to get into this in the letters in a minute because we had a lot of response to it. I said that when a man, my friend had sex with a guy that she was really into and she was totally psyched they were having sex until he did a fatal flaw move.
Mm-hmm. How took old her is head. This guy?
He was 40.
40 years old and he was doing that?
He took her head and he pushed her down like, I want to have sex. I want you to, you know.
Yeah. Give fellatio.
Perform fellatio on me. We know that that's what you want. We know you want it. We might not be ready to do it. And when we're ready to do it, we're going to do it.
Sometimes you take too long.
Menace, what's too long?
Was it the first time she's ever done that?
First time she had sex with him.
Oh, that he did that.
This is a move.
Gave him fellatio before.
No, never. So I think this is something that happens early on in a relationship. Because eventually you just do it. But this is something that should not happen the first 2 to 3 to 4 times you're with somebody. Maybe if you guys are getting a little more aggressive and it kind of becomes a sort of rough play, you know, maybe you could be into that and push the head down and do stuff like that. But basically, a woman knows that that's what you want and she knows it's option and she knows it's open and that's always an opportunity and your penis is there ready and willing to have, you know, receive, but she'll do it when she's ready.
Well,
so
the thing is, it all goes back to how men are impatient.
Right.
Because they feel like something's going to happen and I'm not going to have sex.
Exactly.
We talked about this before. So that's why they're just guiding you.
There's right, exactly. I feel like there's a point where men think they got trained because maybe when they were younger, they got shut down a lot. You know, when you're in your teenage years, all you want to do is get laid and girls are like, no, I'm waiting, blah, blah, blah. And I think that men get wired in this way that they're afraid that they're going to eventually get shut down. And so they just keep pushing the sex. They're pushing the sex. They're jumping over your breasts. They're doing everything just to get down there and have sex.
Yeah.
They're not slowing down. So, Menace, I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
Since I revealed this big pet peeve that I had with men, I thought this would be interesting to find out from you what your pet peeve is about women in bed, if you have any.
Women in bed? That's sexual.
It could be sexual. It could be just the way she kisses or the way she something. It could be anything. I hate when she wears her socks in bed. Doesn't matter. You don't have to get, you know, whatever you think.
No.
Do you have a pet peeve about women sexually? Something that's happened.
Sexually. Well, can I start off with my number one pet peeve in bed?
Yeah, please.
But it's not sexual. We'll leave it to that.
Was it eating Pringles or something?
I have to think about it.
Okay.
No, number one thing is, after a really long day, really long day, you finally, you lay down in bed, it's like, man, I am done. That's when women, they trap you and torture you and say, you know what? I think we need to talk about this. I'm like, we've been hanging out for the past 5 hours. Why couldn't we talk about it then? Why do you need to talk about it at this point in time when I'm about to go to sleep?
Have you relayed it to your relationship,
yes,
to your partner that,
yes,
can we not talk at night in bed?
Yes.
You've said that.
But there's so many people that I've talked to that has,
no,
the same,
true,
problem.
It's true. That is a known thing. In fact, that used to be a joke with one of my boyfriends. I'd be like, we need to talk. And it would just be our funny joke because we know that's the worst thing that you could say.
Yeah,
just to a guy.
It's terrible because I'm tired and my patience level is at zero. So I don't really, you know.
So when's your best time? When would you rather have her talk to you?
Like earlier.
Earlier,
when we were
like,
hanging out for the past couple hours.
Right. But you think that now that you're in bed, you're trapped and she's got you there.
Yeah.
And you're not going anywhere. You've already brushed your teeth.
And it's just
going
to be blah, blah, blah.
You're not
and
going
I'm just
anywhere.
Like, not going to, you know, give these elaborate responses. I'm going to say whatever the hell I got to say.
To get to
that. To get the goddamn conversation over with.
All right. That's a good one. That's a good one. You got to think more about a sexual one, too.
And sexual.
There must be still. Okay. This is what I've heard from men. Pet peeves for women. When they just lie there and they don't do anything. Now, I can't believe that those women. How do you not move around when you're having sex? But some women just lie there.
Yeah. And then it also goes to like a patience type thing. Like, you got to tease. When I hear women on television shows and say, oh, you got to tease him, you got to do these things. Hell no. Shut up. Men's patience level are like, you know, is zero.
You don't want to be teased ever?
No. Who cares? No. I want to have
she
sex.
She wants to be teased.
I want to have sex.
I know you do, honey. But
no,
so then
but
she wants.
This is the point that if she wants to be teased, that's cool. All right. I'm willing to do that.
All right.
But I don't like it when I watch these talk shows where women are like trying to give advice on how to please a man. Talk to a man on how to please a man, you know?
We know. We've learned from men. We've learned. We do know. Honey, we know. I know what pleases the man. Mm. I do. I'm going to get into what pleases the woman soon. That's what we're going to talk about in the show. We are going to talk about some sex tips, some of the top sex tips for men. These are just little tiny snippets that you can do to please a woman. And we're also going to get into your letters in a minute. We've got lots of letters. Thanks, everybody, for emailing me at feedback@sexwithemily.com. I've also added a new feature to the site. It's a PayPal donate button. And we don't make money on the show. Menace and I are not out shopping and buying new materials.
Yeah, in Beverly Hills in California.
Exactly. We are not. And so we just would appreciate anything. If you can give a dollar, I know people pay 99 cents per song, pay a dollar, 10 bucks, whatever you could do. Thank you to everybody who has donated. It really makes a difference. And we'll do more videos and more shows and all that stuff. So yeah. Thanks.
Can I ask for on my thing?
Please.
Because I'm doing...
Do whatever you want.
If you really like the show and you would like to just help out on this contest I'm doing, it's going on for a month and you can vote every day. It takes you 10 seconds. Please just go to votemenace.com and click 5 stars. That's all you got to do.
Okay.
Votemenace.com.
And click 5 stars. And it's also on my website as well.
Thank you.
So we could do that there.
That's all I need from
okay,
you.
Okay. Thanks, Menace. That's all we need from you. God, I feel so needy. Okay. We're giving back now. Okay. For the rest of the show, we are just giving, 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 giving.
All right.
We're reading your letters. We're giving sex tips. Okay. And we're going to start, like I said, guests. Last week we had Dr. Shondor Gardos on the show. We have 124 shows now, and we're going to have a guest again next week. We're going to start bringing the guest back. Okay, letters. Thanks, all everyone, right, for emailing me. Okay, Emily, my girlfriend gave me a hand job with lots of lube. Lasted a long time, and it was amazing. Better than when I do it. Thanks, Chris.
Here you go. Like, can I get access to the email addresses? Because I believe you're filtering all the stuff to...
Okay. We should catch people up on the great hand job debate,
right,
of 2010.
You're filtering.
I'm
you
not
are
filtering.
A few
weeks ago, a month ago now maybe, I talked about the fact that hand job is a nice accoutrement, is something to add to your sex life, is to do a hand job and also perform oral sex, do fellatio, blowjob, whatever, but to also give hand jobs. We've had so many people write in about it. They like it. They don't like it. Menace thinks that women are not good at it and don't know what they're doing. And I'm not saying give up performing oral sex on a man, but add in the hand job, use your hands, use lube. So we've got some more letters to that regard today.
You can use a hand job while you're giving fellatio.
Menace thinks that I am filtering your letters and I am reading all the letters. Because he's pro, and I mean, he's anti and I'm pro. Okay.
You can give hand jobs while giving fellatio. That is fine, but not just hand job only.
Okay, and I could totally disagree that a handjob only is a nice surprise. You know,
no, it's not.
Yes, it is. Relationships are all about mixing things up, and the elements of surprise makes it exciting. Doing something different. Wow, I wasn't expecting her to give me a handjob.
That
sure feels
really
good.
Sucked.
No, that feels good. Hi, Emily Menace. I have to agree with you, Emily. The infamous head push is a pet peeve for so many women, including myself. Give me the opportunity to please you how and when I'm ready. If you rush it and pressure me into it, I'll become totally turned off. However, there is the occasional rough sex with your significant other when the head push might not be a bad thing, because if we're all in that realm, I might give you a head push, I might give you a head push as well. But keep in mind, this only comes after you and your partner have talked about what pleases each other and how far you can take it. My boyfriend and I like the occasional roughness, but let me highlight occasional. I love your show, Michelle. She doesn't like the head push either.
We're just guiding you.
Thanks, Michelle, for writing. I know what you mean, though. Sometimes, though, it's rough, and you're like, you want to be like, hey, baby, do this.
No, it's just like, I'm looking at my watch, and you're taking too long. That's what it is.
You're taking too long to get down there?
Yeah.
But I think that a woman will eventually... I'm going to get you another letter that addresses that, because a guy said to me, coming up, he talks about the fact that what do you do if you don't eventually get the oral sex that you want?
Yeah.
We'll get to that. Dear Emily, so I'm writing back since my letter about hand jobs was read first. Little butterflies in the stomach when you read it. Love knowing my thoughts matter. Aw. I have a question to ask that relates to the story you told of your friend and the aggressive push for pleasure. This is the head push. I've never forced a girl woman chick's head down to do the job, but I do find it frustrating giving lots of nonverbal hints that I'd like to get it performed, but I'm getting no results. Guiding her hand over my pants and also placing my hand on my member down the pants or going down on her doesn't guarantee any reciprocation. I have the feeling it's my need to be more vocal and less suggestive if I want it to happen. I hate the idea of being that guy who expects it and physically push the woman's hand down to get the job done and nothing's going to happen. Ask your doctor friend or talk about it amongst yourselves. What are at least three different ways I can try and instigate getting that brilliant part of sexual foreplay underway? I'm loving the show, and I look forward to being a guest soon. LOL, Seth. Hey, Seth, thank you so much for writing. Okay, he wants three tips that he can try to get oral sex from a woman that's not a head push. So I thought about a few.
You did? Yeah. I was just going to say.
Because you're a dude. What works for you?
Can I receive fellatio, ma'am? You just ask.
No, really?
And then they'll tell you either yes or no. It's like, that's not my thing. And then if it's not their thing, then don't overreact.
Have you done that?
Say yeah.
You've asked a woman
straight
for
up,
it?
Yeah.
Straight up ask. Okay, that's a good tip. This is from a man, and it's worked. And Menace gets a lots of women.
Just say
when
you
he's
know,
single.
Yeah. Just say, look, and 90% of the time you won't get shut down, or they will tell you what's really going on, and then it's up to you if you want to stick around or not.
Okay. Yeah.
Stop tiptoeing.
Here's the thing. I think one thing you could do is talk about your fantasies. You could say, God, baby, I really, because couples do not talk about their fantasies at all. And be like, hey, so do you ever have any fantasies of me? And she might say, yeah, I really dream of you tying me up one day. And you might say, wow, I'd really love, like, I picture you going down on me and how hot you'd look doing that. And then she would know that that's something that you're into.
Yeah. But
yeah. That could be one way. Now, another way is if you're together for a long, long time and it's not happening, like I think this, what we're talking about at the head push is if the head push, the man's pushing your head down there to do it after the first, second, third, fourth time, that's too soon. Some women, you know, they just really see it as an act of intimacy and they want to wait a while. But if months go by, then you can just like straight up, I mean, and maybe even before that, you say something. You say, this is what I want. And if you're not getting it and she's not into it and that's really important to you, then it's, you got your answer, relationship over. Yeah. Oral sex is important to you and she's not performing it after 3 months. You're done.
I need to look up the history of fellatio and see when it became mainstream.
I think honestly, well, I remember reading something about like when the Kinsey, you know, Alfred Kinsey did his Kinsey reports in the 50s. Mm-hmm. It was the first time that sex was actually studied. And they talked about the fact that women and men, they were just having sex to basically procreate. They didn't really know about oral sex. And mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't as widespread that women knew about oral sex. And so I don't think that women were performing oral sex. I'm sure there was like underground and like hipsters and people were, but it wasn't as talked about. It wasn't as known. There weren't like books about it. Mm-hmm. Probably, you know, they started learning about it in the 60s, late 50s, early 60s. So
really?
It's still fairly new on this planet.
So you don't
but
believe...
people have been giving oral sex, probably the Romans and since you know, early times people were. But I'm saying like in our culture, in America.
Where it came mainstream where people talked about it openly.
Yes, exactly. Like women started talking about it. People think women, you know, I mean, it wasn't until like, the 60s. And now we talk about it all the time. At least I do. Mm-hmm. We talk about oral sex.
But don't think the Egyptians weren't, you know.
No, they were. Oh, no. The blowjob has been around. We should look up the history of the blowjob. Yes. That's your assignment for next week.
Mine?
Okay, mine.
All right.
Menace won't do anything. He just shows up. Okay,
I'm here
so
and I turned the mics on.
I know he. I could never. You know what, Menace? I
what?
Love you, and I can
thank
never
you.
Do this without you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I can't turn the mics on. Okay, Emily, been listening to your show for a few months, and I love it. It's fun and informative. I currently go to school in Chicago. My boyfriend is in Spain for 4 years. It's really hard, and we miss each other a lot. I was wondering if you have any advice for how to make our relationship withstand the distance. Thanks so much. Love the show, Amelia. Well, I would say...
Love Chicago, by the way.
Love Chicago, too.
Love Chicago.
From Michigan.
I'll
love
be there
Chicago.
Soon for Lollapalooza.
Really? Oh, fun.
Yeah. Lady Gaga.
Are you going to
be
Coachella
performing?
This year?
I am.
Okay. We'll talk about that
I'll
in a minute.
Be there in 2 weeks.
So what I would say, Amelia, is that... Well, first thing that I thought about was Skype. Skype is unbelievable. One of my best friends is living in Grenada right now. She's in vet school. And we Skype several times a week. And I actually feel like we are... connected, that I see her almost just as much. We sit there for like an hour and we just laugh and talk and have a glass of wine together, and it's great. Skype, I mean, this is just technology. I'm sure you know this, but it actually sometimes, I've noticed that it really does make it feel like I am seeing her in it, and it's intimate. Have you ever Skyped?
Yeah, and then also I hooked up Skype to my big screen TV.
Really?
Yeah, so it's just like you just sit in front of your TV and it's like there's a giant, you know, a video of
that's
the
really
you're talking
cool.
To. Yeah.
Oh my God! Then you can have Skype sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
I haven't done that, but
I haven't done it either. But you could have Skype sex. You know, there's also sexy texts, sexy letter emails, like talking about the last time you were together. And there's also the asking questions. Like, this is a good time when you're not together to, if you're talking on the phone, like ask about fantasies, ask about what turns you on, ask, talk about what you're going to do next time you see each other. But honestly, another thing that came up for me, a third thing, Amelia, was that you're young. I think you're in school. He's in school for 4 years. Are you sure you want to be committed for 4 years while he's in Spain? Is he really, I'm sure maybe he is the guy and he's the one and you're certain, but you know, there's ways that you could kind of, if you wanted to, start, you know, dating on your own as
well.
Don't
listen to her, Amelia. She's the devil.
I'm not the devil. I'm just saying she's 22 years old. And
if that's the guy she loves, then, you know, stick it out.
Okay, I'm just saying, are you sure that you want, I just want to know, a lot of times in couples, or he might be saying we're committed and he's really not, he's in Spain. I don't know, I'm just saying, she's young. Is that bad? You think that's bad, man, to say that?
I think that's bad to say. You know,
I just want to make sure that you want
through any problems,
honey. Long distance. I don't care. You know what? It's not about your age. I'm sorry, Amelia. I don't know how old you are. You could be in grad school. I think you might have even said that you're going to school in Chicago. You could be whatever. You could be older. It doesn't matter. I'm just saying 4 years of long distance. OK, a year of long distance. You know, it's long distance. I think, OK, you can deal with that. But 4 years is a really, really long time. And so I'm just saying, like, is there a way that you could find work there? Can you get that? I mean, it's just a long time to be long distance. So I'm just saying, are you sure this is what you want to do and you don't want to date other people? That's all I'm saying. Okay.
A little factoid about Chicago.
Yes.
They had the busiest McDonald's in America there.
Really?
Yes.
Didn't know that.
And they have a museum and everything.
I didn't know that. Yeah, McDonald's. So. Good Midwestern.
Next time you're in Chicago, people.
Okay. Good to know.
Thanks for tuning in to Sex with Emily. One of the reasons you're able to listen to us for free is because of the incredible people at Good Vibrations. Good Vibrations is a sex-positive company based in San Francisco with an amazing website. I got my very first vibrator from Good Vibrations, so I hold a soft spot in my heart for them. They have a huge online store at goodvibes.com. You can find literally anything on there, from toys to DVDs to games. Just click on the Good Vibrations banner at sexwithemily.com and enter GV Ship Emily for free shipping. So check it out. You'll help yourself and you'll help keep Sex with Emily free, just like it should be. Thanks for listening. I promise your sex life will improve.
Hi, Emily. I've enjoyed your program and been a dedicated listener for a while. I think I've listened to all your archive podcasts as well, and I have a couple comments for you. In some podcasts, you and Menace have talked about people waiting until their 30s to get married and have families, but it may come at a cost. Those that want to have a family should not wait too long. Infertility for women in their 30s is a growing problem. I have more than a few female or married friends who play the field and didn't get married till their 30s or 40s and are struggling to have a kid. They put careers ahead of their personal lives or didn't want to settle down, and infertility treatments don't always work and be heartbreaking. Also, it's not as easy having a child in your late 30s and 40s. I'm 45, have an older teenager and a younger child. Though I love my youngest child, he makes me feel young again. I envy my friends who had kids in their earlier mid-20s, who will be empty nesters in a few years. So I feel bad for my youngest. I'll be in my 60s when he's graduating from high school. I'm going to be an old man before he's grown up. I hope that I will live long enough, or at least be healthy enough, to see him graduate from college and have his own family. Cheers, Paul. So, yeah, Paul, that's interesting. But this is just the way culture is taking us right now. We've talked, people are waiting a lot until their 30s to have kids and 40s. But it is. It's a trade-off. I mean, I've had to live a very, if I want to have kids, you know, I've got to start making those decisions. And I've had a very vibrant 20s and 30s with, like, doing my own thing and having my own life. But if I want to have kids, you know, you got to get on it. And I would be an older parent, I suppose.
A little old lady.
Little old lady. What about you, Menace? What about kids? Do you feel that inkling? You're 30.
No, I think that having kids is a huge responsibility and a really big financial responsibility. And I don't believe I work in an industry where I can be stable.
Right.
So that is a decision I would have to make. Right. And right now, I don't think it would be a good one.
I think that we have, I mean, I think that's a good point, especially living in a city, you know, like we do. Like, it's hard. It is really hard, and that people are delaying marriage and they are delaying family just because that really is the way the culture is going, that women are in the workforce stronger than ever. I mean, this wasn't happening with my parents' generation. My mom was the first generation that she couldn't even have a credit card. My dad had, you know, she had like a credit card under my dad. Now women are working, they're realizing, like, do I really need to settle down? I like working. And then we delay it. And then, you know, then we're 40-year-old mothers.
And then you see Paris Hilton all over the place, cruising the world and having fun. Yeah. I mean, that's what the younger generation is
saying. Right. They're like, I want to do that.
I want to be like that girl. I don't want to, you know.
But believe me, I have a lot of friends, and there is a part of me, Paul, I hear you, that it's like, God, you know, I could have already had a kid at 20 and had gotten out of the way, and my kid be in high school, and I'd still be doing my thing. Yeah. But I didn't. And we're all making different choices these days. So, mm-hmm. you know. Hey, Emily. Love the show. Can't wait for you to have more guests a la the old days, but I'm still loving the discussions you have with Menace and Dr. Gardos. I have a quick comment regarding sex toys. You like sex toys, Menace hates them. From a woman's perspective, Menace, men have nothing to worry about. I don't know about other women, but speaking from my own use, I've never experienced any sort of acclimation to the feel of a vibrator, leading to inability to get aroused by my boyfriend. In fact, though I love sex toys and believe they really make a difference, hold on. They serve a great role in the bedroom, alone or with a partner. A vibrator or toy can bring me great pleasure, but has never brought me to orgasm, at least in the way my man can. Always leaves me wanting more. Maybe it has something to do with the human component, feeling intimacy with my boyfriend that leads to mind-blowing orgasms. My vibrator and I don't have that kind of relationship. Does not replace my boyfriend, and in fact, just heightens my arousal when I'm intimate with him. Mention if your sex toys or feel intimidated by them. Many women use them as supplemental or in conjunction with their man. Just a different perspective than I think is presented so far. I guess that's all I have to share. Thanks for the great show. Love it, Lydia. So here she is. Here's your woman, Menace. She's not that. She sex toys doesn't do it for her.
No, she wasn't listening. She wasn't listening.
She wasn't listening to what?
And she addressed it too. She says that she uses it as a tool in. But what about just, you know, having it the natural way?
No, she's saying she does. She's saying she can't have the vibrator doesn't bring her to orgasm.
Yeah, it seems the way she was talking about by itself.
Right. So
yeah,
she needs her partner.
She uses her partner and the sex.
Yeah,
toy.
She uses both. But
yeah,
then
see,
she
that's
also
what my whole thing is. It's not just having. If you want to use a sex toy all day long, that's fine. But I'm just saying, when having sex with your partner, if you need a toy every single time, I believe that's a problem.
Okay. I hear you, Menace.
All right. See, she needs to listen next time.
Okay.
God.
No, thanks, Lydia. I appreciate it. Okay. One more letter?
Yeah, go for it.
Great. Was wondering if you or your partner in crime, I think that's you, Menace,
okay.
had any advice for single parents on dating, places to look to meet other people. In my case, I haven't been out on a date in almost 18 months due to a custody battle with my ex for our son. I finally won, but now every time it seems like I meet someone, they run away when I mention kids. Help. I know in the long run, they're not worth it, but I can't help but feel a little lonely. Thanks, Emily. Keep up the good podcast, Jason in Cincinnati. That's tough being a single parent. It really is mm-hmm. tough, but I have to say that there are a lot of ways to meet single parents. First of all, dating online. I mean, so many, there's no stigma attached to it anymore. There's actually websites just dedicated for single parents, but really, you could sign up for Match or Nerve and you could sort by people who have kids and people who are okay with you have kids. You can just disclose that in the first mm-hmm. thing. And so if you still have issues, Jason, with dating online, I'm telling you, everywhere I go, big cities, small cities, people are doing it and they're finding luck. I would also say that you probably meet a lot of parents right now. You probably meet a lot of Maybe you meet some single parents and maybe you even meet married parents. I would say just practice your skills of talking to women, even if they're married, because a lot of times you're finding that you can't meet people. It's because you're not actually talking to anyone and just being yourself, being open, starting conversation. Maybe this woman that you see at your kid's school, maybe she is married, but she's got a sister who's great. And you just got to let be known that you want to be fixed up and talk to everyone, you know, and put it out there. So that's what I have to say. What do you think, Menace?
I think, yeah, and we've talked about this before, where change your routine. Make sure you don't do the same thing every
yep.
day. And then
mm-hmm.
you meet other people. And I found it harder. I don't know why, but for single parents that are males, it's harder for them to find people than it is for a female. I don't know why.
Really? I find it the total opposite.
Really?
Yeah. You think that men with kids have a hard time dating.
I know a lot of single moms, and I know a few single dads, and the single dads are having trouble
because women want their own kids.
I don't know.
I don't have that problem. I feel like I've seen problems on both sides.
Yeah,
but you just got to find someone. I mean, your kids are your bottom line issues, Jason. I mean, those are your kids. Those are the who you love, and you got to just be ruthless, and you will find someone who's totally down with you having kids. Maybe you'll find ideally someone who has kids of her own. But they're out there and you just have to look. And it's like what Mena says, what I say to everybody, like change your routine. Like, I know this sounds like kind of cliche, but have you taken a new class lately? Have you started doing something new, taking a different route to work? You know, talk, make yourself, force yourself to smile at a woman every day. Just smile. A cute woman you see walking on the street, you smile at her. I got asked that. I got asked out yesterday.
Really?
By this guy, yeah. And I was going to say this because it was just totally, he was totally cool. I was in an audition. I do television commercials on the side. And I was doing an audition for a Cost Plus television commercial. And there was this really cute guy there. And we were waiting in line for the audition and talking. And then he waited for me after, because he went in for his audition. And then he waited for me outside. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey. And he was funny. And he was cute. And he was like, hey, so let's get a drink sometime. And he was just like bold. I'm like, yeah. Okay, here's one. I gave him my number. Even though I'm a mandatorian, yeah. I'm not dating and I can't date him for 30 mm-hmm. days. He was cute and, you know, who knows? I don't know. But I just thought it was interesting that he just waited and he was bold and he saw me and he didn't let the opportunity pass and he asked me out right there. And I liked it. And I gave him my number, yeah. Which I don't even
usually
do. Women
tend
he was
to
cute.
Like that when you're up front.
Yeah, that's a huge complaint about, I don't know where
confidence,
you know, it's mm-hmm. the confidence is that men just actually don't ask women out. And I can't tell you that it's rare. Like, I get hit on by men, but the man that's just like, give me your number. Hot. I like it.
Go for it.
I liked it.
And look, if they say no, you're not going to die.
You're not
going to.
That's
gonna
the
say.
Thing. And it's just practice. You got to practice your rejection muscles. You got to practice the muscles of asking somebody out, but it might be your rejection muscle. It rolls off you after a while. And then you do more and more and more and you're fine.
And then going back to the online dating thing, like Match and all this other stuff. The women are on there because they want to meet other people too. Just FYI,
right? Exactly. That's why they're there.
Yes,
exactly. And you
they're not there to hang out.
No. And there's, you know, like my friend who had 200,000.
Oh God, I'm
know
tired
you hate
of hearing
that.
About that.
I know you are, honey. My 200,000
views, and it only took her 10 years to find a guy.
Exactly, but she found a guy. She had like millions of views on her Match page, and she found a guy. Okay, let's move into Sex in the News. Sex in the News. We needed music for that. Menace.
Music?
We need a Sex in the News music.
No, we don't. It's not some corny thing. People want real conversations.
I just went Sex in the News. I tried to make my own song. Okay, Donald Trump blames golf for Tiger Woods' sex addiction. Trump has kind words for Jesse James, too. At least one person has Tiger Woods' back, and it's none other than Donald Trump. Tiger's a friend of mine. I really like him a lot, the mogul said at Wednesday night's premiere of his show. And get this, Trump insists that Woods' sport is responsible for his indiscretions. I really think that there's this tremendous pressure you wouldn't understand from the world of golf. Woods isn't the only bad boy Donald is siding with. He had very kind words for Sandra Bullock's wayward husband, too. I know Jesse James really well, Trump said of his former Celebrity Apprentice co-star. He's a tough guy and a smart guy, but Trump admitted he had a sneaking suspicion about the marriage to Bullock all along. I always wondered why he didn't bring Sandra on the show. I guess now we know. He never brought Sandra Bullock when he was on Celebrity Apprentice. He did not bring her around.
Why?
And he's saying that Tiger Woods, there's pressure in golf that is making him cheat.
Yeah, right.
The pressure is that there's so many women who...
just throwing themselves.
I know. And did you hear that he settled with one of his girls? He settled with that Rachel, the first woman who came across, for $10 million, they say.
What? Settled?
Settled what? I don't know. Like, the libel, maybe, or, like, what is going to be her reputation and paying
God.
For that kind of suffering.
Suffering?
Yep.
What, $10 million?
Okay, but here's the next article that just...
I'll give her $10,000.
$10 million, dude. I'm not going to say it.
Dude. God.
I'm not even going to say what I was going to say because it's so wrong.
I would have gave her no money.
Oh, and Jesse James entered sex rehab.
Mm, great.
Yeah. So that's another one. So my next article is Sex Rehab, Real Therapy, or a Band-Aid for Infidelity? All would appear to have had way much of a good thing. Tiger Woods, David Duchovny, and now Jesse James. Unlike drug or alcohol addictions, the world depends on people having sex. But lately, what more celebrity husbands are finding that, like drugs and alcohol, things can get out of hand with sex, too. So they realize that this time was crucial to help himself, his family, and he's saving his marriage. That's what Jesse James says. But the most challenging part about being sex in rehab is that the environment is sex-free. You're not exposed to triggers, no internet, erotic materials, access to anything that could trigger arousal. It's about isolating and detaching someone from the triggers. But he thinks the success of recovery, of sexual addiction recovery, depends on whether the patient is able to look past the physical aspects of sex. Now, here's the key, because everyone wants to know how you get over sex addiction. The key is that he needs to associate it with emotions, developing a bond and using sex as an expression, programming to use sex as intimacy, not as gratification. So a lot of times these guys are just having sex because they're like programmed and they're not emotionally attached at all to the sex. It's just like conquering. It could be ego building. It could be all these other things. So it says that we have a crisis in this country, which many people feel their marriages are a source of stress, not strength, and where half of marriages end in divorce. If you were Sandra Bullock, you would have to say to yourself, is this an addiction or is this my partner's character? So if you're an alcoholic or a drug addict, you'd stop and go cold turkey, but someone in sex rehab has to return to sexual activity. So that's why it's so hard. If you're like an alcoholic or a drug addict, you can walk away from drugs, but sex, you always got to have sex. And so that's what they're dealing with. They're dealing with connecting. They have to learn cognitive behavioral therapy, how to have sex and to actually connect with the person and not just see it as a conquest.
Have you seen more and more lately people are trying to counteract the whole sex addiction thing and saying it's not real?
Yeah. Totally.
It's been more and more in the news lately. Like, I know. It's not real. It's bogus.
Well, that's what this says. Is it a Band-Aid for fertility? Mm-hmm. Sex, it's like, is it like, oops, I cheated and I got caught? If you didn't get caught, would you, you know, he wasn't seeking out sex addiction initially. Mm-hmm. He just got caught. And that's what you do to save face. It's almost like a joke right now that all these men in our culture are doing that. Now, I mean, I do know, like, I was in that movie, I Am a Sex Addict, which people can rent. It's called I'm a Sex Addict. You can get it on Netflix or whatever. Actually acted in it. It was my acting debut. My first and last, probably. But anyway, it's a really good movie. I have to say that the guy in the movie talks about sex addiction and how he got through it. And it's, I think you'll like it. So you should rent it. So, because that's lots in the news right now. Okay, so the RNC, the Republican National Committee, they're in hot water right now over visit to sex club and sex hotline. Did you hear about this?
Mm-mm.
The ex-lieutenant governor of Maryland, Michael Steele, had one problem and now he's got another. First, there was a reimbursement of $2,000 he spent at a sex bondage club with topless dancers in California. And then there was a phone number attached to a letter he sent out to all of his Republicans raising money. And the letter had the number of a phone sex, like a number to call was like a phone sex number or something. So like there's all this sex, it was just a mistake.
Oh.
So there's like sex plaguing the Republican party. But it said that he spent $2,000 at a sex and bondage club and he denied it. So
$2,000, that's probably nothing to them.
How do you, what do you do at $2,000? I guess a lot of lap dances?
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of alcohol?
I spent like $600 in like an hour.
When you were, you did?
On lap dances, yeah.
When?
This years
ago.
Are
you into that, yo?
No, I was working for a morning show and I was working really hard and we were doing really well. Uh-huh. So they wanted to take us to Las Vegas, but we missed our flight, so they're like, oh, we'll just stay here in San Francisco and we'll just go to some strip clubs. And I was really, really drunk. And they're like, oh,
you gotta
take
be drunk.
Him. They're like, oh, take him up to the VIP room. And we went in like some elevator and went up there. And I was so wasted. I couldn't even remember like the time. And then I go back down. They're like, dude, you spent $600.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's, I think that's what a lot of guys wake up in the morning with, their $600 in Vegas. You kind of did that. You kind of had this Vegas experience.
I spent like $3,000 in probably a day.
Yeah, just women, going, we are seductive creatures. We just take your money.
Yeah.
Splash even, you our breasts.
And I don't fall for that kind of stuff.
No, sure you don't.
But in Las Vegas, they are really good.
I know, they're really good at getting really your money good. And they're really hot.
Yeah, but I went to like a couple of them, but I got to this one club and they were sweet talkers at this one.
What'd they say?
They were just like, they actually just spent the time just talking to you for a really long time, because there's like a lot of clubs up there. They go, are you interested? And you go, ah, no. And then they just turn around and they just leave. Well, these chicks are like, okay, whatever. And
they just hang and they become friends.
Yeah. And then that's how they get your money. They were
they're
really
hot.
Good. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
But I'm not a
stripper's a saleswoman.
I'm
yeah.
not a frequent strip club.
No, you're
visitor.
Not. I don't see you that way.
No.
Okay. So, let's move into sex tips. The 50 hottest sex tips all women wish you knew. I'm not getting through all of them right now, but I'm going to hit them this year during the show. But we're just going to say a few of them now. The hottest word you can say to a woman in bed. Ready? You. Say it often. It's the difference between that feels wonderful and you make me feel wonderful. There's a certain intimacy to you.
Ego boost.
Women love to be praised. We love to hear that you think that we're hot. We don't want to hear it once during sex. We want to hear it like 3 or 4 times. Tell us how hot we are before, beginning, after, and the next morning. And say you. Okay, explore new areas. Explore new regions. The base of her spine is sensation central. Gently stroke and kiss her belly just above the pubic hairline. Sex becomes about discovery, not a destination. You hear that, everyone? It is not a destination. You're not trying to get there. Stop along the way and kiss her. Sensation central, the base of her spine. Got it? You writing this down? Okay, reference a magazine. Want to try something new in bed? Reference something sexy you saw in a magazine, like this list of tips, maybe. That way you can ask your partner, did you ever think of doing that without pointedly saying, this is what I want? That's a good way to do it. Like, I read this crazy thing in a magazine where this woman was giving me a blowjob. Would you ever give me a blowjob?
Yeah.
Going back to our blowjob talk.
I think that would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you leave it laying out, you know, under, you know, under the mail.
Women don't see right through that. Come on.
I don't know. You could be like, oh, I was reading this thing in my men's health magazine and it says this and that. Yeah, I think that that would be interesting. I would think that was kind of sexy. I would know what he was doing, but I would think that was cool that he wanted to try something new and that he read something.
All right.
Because sex is all about exploration and making the old and the regular sex routine new again. And by trying new things, that is how you do it. Master the stop-start technique. A tried-and-true method of lasting longer in bed, the stop-start technique. Pay attention to when you're approaching your point of no return and then pause the action for a while to calm yourself back down. That doesn't mean flip on the TV. Instead, lavish attention on her for a few minutes to bring her closer to your point of arousal. So if you're getting there and you feel like you're going to go, this is kind of a known thing, right? You stop. Men, if you're about to go and she hasn't gone yet, you can stop. Just because you started having sex, this is the thing that men are afraid that it's not going to finish. You can like pull out and still do other things and then go back in. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Stop, start. I think that's a good technique.
It is.
You got to pay attention to what the women want too. Go slower for a faster response. If your girlfriend takes a long time to reach orgasm during oral sex, don't go faster. It won't help her reach orgasm any more quickly. Instead, slow it down. The gentler, slower, and more consistent you are, the quicker she'll arrive. I think that's true. I think it's good to be slow.
And you're going to wear yourself out.
Yeah, slow down. Mix it up, but generally speaking, if women are listening, you don't agree with me, or I would love to hear from women, what is the thing during oral sex that makes them like just go over the edge? feedback@sexwithemily.com. We'd all love to hear that. Right, Menace?
Yes.
Okay, break up, don't cheat. Most women would rather have you break up with them than cheat. That's not really a sex tip. That's just this one I love. This is why I love these. Hug her from behind. She loves it when you hug her from behind and whisper in her ear. Mm-hmm. That is my favorite thing in the whole world, is when a guy comes up behind me and hugs me.
Aww.
Am I such a sap? I love that. It's something really intimate and really sexy and really primal. I love that. Mm-hmm. So, okay, we got through a few of them.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. That was good. Good little show there.
Yeah? You enjoyed it?
I enjoyed it. Yes, I did. I had a really good time. And now that I listen to the shows, I know what goes down here.
All right, good.
So thanks, everyone, for listening. Check out our podcasts, sexwithemily.com, or on iTunes. You can download them, or through Stitcher.com. A lot of people listening through Stitcher. You download the app to your smartphone, any smartphone, and you can listen to it. And Matt Mendes, you were doing that, weren't you?
Yeah, I'll give them a plug, even though they're not a sponsor. Sprint is starting to loan me some phones. Just to try out their demos, and I was listening. I downloaded it on Android, and I was listening to the show right before we started this show.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it literally took me less than.
It's so easy.
Like
all the
minutes.
Shows are there. Yeah, it's so cool. And then speaking of advertisers, MixChicks.net, a curl defining system designed for us. Whether you're Black, White, Asian, Latin, Mediterranean, or any combination of the above, you'll love the way these non sticky, lightweight products leave your hair inviting to touch as they define and lack moisture in every curl. MixChicks.net. If you want to advertise on the show, you can email me feedback@sexwithemily.com. You can check out our PayPal button if you want to donate. And that's what I got for you. We'll be back next week with a guest in the studio, a surprise guest. Thanks for listening to the show. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.
Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Remember, your biggest sex organ is your brain, so learn something new to do in bed. Click on the Sinclair Institute ad on my website and check out their adult sex education DVDs, sex toys, adult DVDs, and other sexy products. You'll save 50% on any Sinclair item when you put in Emily50 at checkout.